the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people, thanks to the makers of... Tonight, Park Johnson is back at the microphone with his partner, Warren Hull, after a month's vacation on his Texas ranch. He's a long, long way from Texas now, because tonight, Rock Pop travels to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, to interview those courageous United States Army engineers and civilians who cut their way through the wilderness to build the famous Alaska Military Highway. And here are your two Vox Poppers, Park Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Yes, folks, this is Park Johnson, and it's sure good to be back with you again.
And, Park, this is Warren Hall, by the way. It's great to have you back here, Park. We really miss you.
Well, I don't know, Warren. Hedda Hopper and Carol Landis and Zink Falkenberg and you carried on without me in real style. I didn't see why I was coming back at all.
No arguments, Park. We're all glad you're back. And, folks, if you'll look at a globe, you'll see that tonight we're farther north than Kiska and Attu in the Aleutians. You wouldn't believe it, but it's true, and boy, that's north.
Yes, sir. Here at Edmonton, we're at the gateway to the new Alaska Military Highway. It's another example of North American unity, the ability of two great nations to work together. Vox Pop is glad to be back in Canada again, because, you know, on several previous broadcasts, we've talked with a lot of Canadian servicemen that we think might be in Sicily right now. And we Americans are proud of the job that our Canadian neighbors are doing all over our country.
That we are. Folks, you know, the men who engineered this great Alaska military highway by breaking through the wilderness between here and Fairbanks, Alaska, have plenty to tell. So, Park, how about it, huh?
Yes, sir. First is a tall, wiry, clear-eyed officer who landed in Edmonton last January and went immediately hundreds of miles north of here to isolated Fort Nelson. The Alaska military highway was still and it's just one of those pioneer roads. And the engineers of the United States Army were fighting on through on one of their real outstanding jobs. Folks, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we want you to know Captain Theodore B. White. Captain Fort Nelson is a long way up, isn't it? How far away is that?
Well, it's pretty nearly 1,000 miles from here.
Is that right? Now, take it from Edmonton here and go up the... after you get up to the Alaska Highway at Dawson Creek, how far is it from Edmonton up to Fairbanks, the other end of the highway up there?
You want to start at Boston.
Uh-huh.
Crawl on your knees to Denver. That's about how long it is.
Ooh, boy. I don't quite get that crawl on your knees stuff. Was it cold when you got in there last winter?
62 below.
That much, huh?
That kind of cold.
And you're from Philadelphia, where it's nice and warm, huh? Say, what'd you live in up there, Captain?
Well, the Colonel and I had the back end of a warehouse they couldn't find any other use for.
Uh-huh.
And they put us there.
Well, was it a room back there, or did you just rent it off or something?
No, there was a room.
Yeah, well, was there a bath attached?
Yes, 100 yards out in the fir tree.
Oh, there. That was your modern conveniences, huh?
That was about all.
I see. Well, now, how did you take a bath?
We had a stove on which we had a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
The bucket contained one bucket of water, and that was all we had between us.
You mean you split the bucket?
That's full of water.
I see. Well, what was your job up there?
I was assistant area engineer to Colonel Griffin.
Well, did that keep you on the road much?
A couple of 1,000 miles at least a month in a Jeep.
In a Jeep? Oh, those Jeeps are everywhere. They got over it, didn't they?
They got through one way or another.
Yeah. 2,000 miles a month. Now, look, that road was in the early stages of it. Pretty rough then, wasn't it?
Pretty rough.
Uh-huh. Well, now, you, as I understand it, you get into the Alaska Military Highway through several entrances. Well, one of them is Edmonton. And,
first one's Dawson Creek.
I see. Well, you have different groups working in different segments?
That's right.
And your group was around the area around Fort Nelson?
We had about 200 miles of road.
Did you have a lot of Army engineers, the boys in the ranks up there with you?
We didn't have so many with us because we're not with troops.
Uh-huh.
But certainly, at this point, I want to say that nothing too much could be said for those troops.
You saw them?
I saw them. I knew them. I saw them when they came out of there. We went in with a fine courage and came out smiling.
Orders were to push that road through and do it fast. Is that right?
They did.
Uh-huh. Well, now, Captain, you have a lot of contractors, of course, now in there, too, don't you? Just following the engineers and processing the road?
A lot of them. Mm-hmm. With civilian workers.
How would you describe the road there as you saw it in the early days when it was still a pioneer road and not quite so easy as it is now, although it's not easy now, I understand.
Well, it was just a rough road, but it was a fine military road.
Uh-huh.
It was a road designed primarily for moving military traffic over it, and it's been doing that ever since.
It's in no sense a pleasure highway.
Oh, heavens.
And it won't be for some time, is that right?
No.
Oh, heavens, no, I get that. Say, is it a year-round military road now?
It's completely a year-round military road.
You are just back from up in that 1,000 miles up there. How do you feel getting back to civilization?
Well, it's nice to see it, but there are an awful lot of people here.
You mean you couldn't sleep or something?
I couldn't sleep, no. I haven't slept yet.
You don't like? Well, Captain, we're going farther and farther into this road with individuals who will come after you. But Bromo Seltz and Vox Pop right now, I've got a couple of things for you. No, only one thing for you. We notice that you don't have a cigarette case, but you keep reaching for one. So we got you a blue leather zippered cigarette case with the finest leather ever I saw that holds 20 flat. And for Mrs. White, back in Philadelphia, a beautiful Far North Parka made by an Indian 1,000 miles north of here. And it has a hood lined with silver fox. You think she'll like it?
I don't think she'll like it right now.
One other thing, Captain. For those modern conveniences, 100 yards back in the brush, here's a nice little lantern. You can take it back with you when you go. Thank you very much.
I could have used it.
Folks, if you haven't noticed many trucks on the roads lately, here's the reason. They're all up here with their drivers doing a tremendous job of transport on the Alaska Military Highway. Now, here's one of the drivers. He happens to be in Edmonton, ready to go back up the road. He's 38, blue-eyed, husky, but he walks with a limp. Jack Nicholson of Ellenburg, Washington. Jack, tell us, how come you went into this work?
Well, I've always been doing it, so here I am. Want to do something. Legs no good.
Well, you want to do something worthwhile, huh?
That's right.
Well, is it worthwhile? Is it tough?
Oh, sure it's tough, but I don't expect no romance to rose it or anything like that on these brakes.
Well, would you recommend it to other men?
Sure. It's a good deal.
Well, whom do you work for?
Dell Construction under a PRA contract.
Oh, you it's not civil service.
That's right.
Oh, well, you like it.
I do. It's a good deal.
Well, I just want to say right here, if any men are listening down in the States and would like to come up here and do something worthwhile, the thing that they should do is to get in touch with their local office of the United States Employment Service. And they'll have their hands full when they get
there.
And they can use them up here, too. Say, Jack, when is the road at its best?
Oh, it's never at its best. It's ice, or it might be some mud, or a lot of dust. One of the three.
Well, that's fine. Does the ice give you much trouble?
Oh, it's always slippery. And if you're going up the hill, and rig don't get clear up, why, you slide back. That's all there is to it.
Well, how in the world, I mean, for instance, you have a big, heavy truck and a trailer, how in the world do you get back down the foot of the hill?
Well, you leave in gear, step out on the run board, and start in backing up. When you get to the bottom, you're there.
And then just take another run and inch her over?
Yeah, that's the way you do it. Just try it again.
Well, I suppose the same way with the mud, too, huh?
That's the deal.
Well, how about the dust?
Oh, most time like fog.
Oh.
It's so bad sometimes boys have to use respirators. Again, be sent up on.
You mean regular gas mask sort of thing, huh?
Oh, not quite that bad.
tell us what the well-dressed truck driver wears for winter driving up here.
Oh, feet and hands are tougher.
Yeah. What do you wear on your hands?
Oh, some wool liners with a leather mitt. That's the best deal I found.
Well, how about the feet?
Oh, silk socks first.
Yeah.
A couple pair of wool socks. Muckle up. Then some good old felt overshoes that come from the station. You got it.
I say, well, do you have heaters in your cab?
Yeah, you bet. At about 60 or 70 below zero, heater, it'll warm it up about zero.
Oh, I say. Well, I suppose there aren't any roadside diners where you can stop for a hamburger and coffee, huh?
No hamburger and coffee. You can stop any of these camps along Army or one of these construction men. You don't have a hamburger sandwich, you have a steak, or something real, really good to eat.
You mean a whole meal?
I mean, lots of sugar, lots of butter. Drink up the coffee if you want it.
There, that sounds good. Boy, that sounds good. Well, I for one, am glad to go without it if you fellows who are doing the job up here can have all that you want. We can see that it's a man's job up on this road. There aren't any women up there, are there?
Well, I don't know, but up there in one place, in one of these little camps, there's a doctor up there, and he's got a sign hung out. All maternity cases free, so now you make up your own mind.
Thank you very much, Jack. You put that point over all right. Say, Box Pop and Bromo Seltzer has something for you, something you can use in the North Country. We have an all-wool sweater that's hand-knitted by the Indians. It has a high shawl collar. It's about an inch thick. Water will bounce right off it, and I'm sure wind and snow will, too. I've never seen anything like it. I'm sure the folks have never seen anything like it. That's really a Lulu. And for your wife, we have something that's rare in the States these days, and it's rare up here, too, but we found it at Greer's English Shop here in Edmonton. It's a genuine silk-lined Burberry ladies' topcoat, the finest wool, and it's rich brown with an overplaid. Now, she's going to be the envy of all of her friends, I'm sure. Oh, and one more thing. When you're out there driving on the roads, one of those big six-wheel mastodons, we have something to help you clear the way ahead. Listen. Thank you very much, Jack. Good luck. You know, Park, you and I have covered a lot of territory the past year and a half.
Yeah, and we've still got a lot more places to go, Warren.
Well, I'm betting there's one spot we'll never hit.
What's that?
Oh, it's a certain mountain near Lowell, Oregon, where Mr. and Mrs. George H. Ward are located. Now, listen to this. I'll read you their letter. Mr. Ward writes, "My wife and I are on duty day and night as observers at a Forest Service aircraft warning post located on a high, snow-covered mountain peak and miles from a road, people, or a town."
Oh, they are isolated, all right.
Oh, you haven't heard anything yet. Mr. Ward's letter continues. "We're so isolated that we get our mail just once a month, brought in by a Forest Service ranger who makes a 3-day trip on snowshoes. And I'll get this part. Due to long hours of keeping watch, the glare of sun on snow, and insufficient rest, we occasionally get common sick headaches. So we're more than thankful for the quick, effective relief Bromo Seltzer gives us. We always keep it on hand because we find it almost indispensable for helping to keep us fit and on the job at all times."
Thank you, Mr. and Ms. Ward. And folks, since we've all got to keep on the job these days, Warren and I would like to suggest that you keep Bromo Seltzer handy at all times where you work, as well as it at home.
That's right, Park. And now, folks, before talking with our next man, we just want to express our gratitude to Brigadier General L.D. Worsham, his officers and men, who have given us so much cooperation in preparing Vox Pop here at Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Okay, Park.
Yeah, and next, he came from ranching in British Columbia to surveying and then forestry work in the far north, and now he's a top geodetic survey man. That covers the 58-year lifespan of this wiry, very human Canadian. His life is outdoors. I would say he is the outdoors. He loves his great Northwest. Folks, from Kamloops, British Columbia, Jack Connell. Tell me, Jack, what did you have to do with this Alaska Military Highway?
Well, our work is the controls today.
You mean
the points that we establish are 6 points of latitude and longitude from which other surveys are.
You have to go ahead of them then.
Yeah.
Now, that means you've got to climb mountains?
Yeah.
What are you, and put a light or something up there?
Yes, to work on lights at night because they can get a greater degree of accuracy working on a light properly focused.
That's right. Now, Jack, look, when you go ahead of a road like that or a crew like that, you probably go through some unexplored territory, don't you?
Yes.
What does it look like from the top of one of those great, big, tall Rocky Mountain peaks?
Well, that's hard to tell you. I just say $1 million worth of mountains as you look around.
Is that right?
Anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500, you go around the circle.
You mean you can see that many other peaks?
Yes, and possibly 125 miles away, you pick up some outstanding peaks.
Uh-huh. Can you see any animals from up there?
Oh, yes.
What?
Grizzly. Grizzly bear. Lots of goats. Grizzly not so thick as it used to be.
Yeah? Those goats, they always interested me. Can a goat out climb a human being, would you say?
Mm-hmm. Climb a stovepipe to take an ocean.
Do what?
Climb a stovepipe.
You mean they're that good?
Yes.
You've seen them do it, huh?
Well
not climb a stovepipe.
No stovepipe there, but I've seen them jump down on the face of bluff where there was absolutely nothing to see. The naked eye and a piece of rock bounced out and they just hit and gone.
Just bounced from one to the other?
Somewhere else and they seem to have no nerves at all. They're all nerves. They don't know which.
Can't make up your mind. And you're an old timer, huh?
Yeah.
Talking about the mountain goat, not the great horned sheep, aren't you?
No.
I see. The goat.
The goat.
Fight. Go ahead. I interrupted you. What are you going to say? Were you going to tell me about the grizzlies?
Well, yeah, it's the same them, and there's a lot of argument about the size. Well, we've estimated lots of them to be from 12 or 1,400 pounds up to possibly 1,600 or 1,800, maybe even a ton.
You mean a grizzly bear way up to a ton?
Yes, that's
how big a tract does one leave?
Well, I personally measured them 9 inches across the ball of the foot on the straight imprint.
Somebody's paging you back there on a phone, it seems.
And,
how wide across?
9 inches across the ball of the foot. And then
that's longer than Bob Balance.
That's the cross, not the length. Yeah. I don't know what the length was because the rear of the foot was on the rock.
Jack, up in that wild country, how about fish?
Well, there are fish in practically all the lakes and streams. And you get from brook trout up to, in some lakes, you can get trout up to 16, 18, 20 pounds.
Wait a minute, how big?
16, 18, and 20 pounds.
They tell me you're a real fisherman, is that right?
On the fly, yeah.
Yeah?
I used to be able to know right where they hung out.
Jack, do you ever have any contact yourself with a grizzly?
Yes. One day when we're blocked by storms from getting into a certain peak, we decided to go down and see about getting one that was out in the open just at noon.
Uh-huh.
Well, I realized it in my time, so I've got to cut it short.
Yeah.
I shot the thing 3 times at 70 yards. The second shot smashing both shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I just refused to die. Started going to get a picture of it. And, it made a plunge towards Buster on its chest. Stiff line put the finishing touches on.
They're just hard to get, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They take a lot of punishment.
Jack, tell me one thing. You're 58 now, and 20, 30, 40 years from now, when you get ready to retire, you're coming into the city and take it easy?
Absolutely no.
Why?
It's the last place I want to be.
You don't like the city?
No.
Do you ever get lost out in the mountains?
No. But I would in the city in 20 minutes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, Jack, I wish I could talk to you and talk to you and talk to you, but I can't. So, Bromos House and Vox Pop are going to give you a couple of things we hope you'll remember us by to replace that old one that we saw that isn't any good anymore. Here's a brand new sturdy metal swivel head tripod for that camera so that you can take pictures. And for a real fisherman, Jack, Bromos House and Vox Pop are arranging through a mutual friend, Ed Blodgett, for Dan Brennan of Syracuse, New York. He's the custom maker of those fine quality dry fly rods, you know, that are built for world famous men. Well, every Dan Brennan rod is individually built for the man who uses it, and we are having one for you. And Jack, there's going to be a handful of root cross flies with that rod, too. Can you use it?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Warren.
Folks, if you'd like to know how the men fare for food up in the Northwest Wilderness, here's the man to tell you. He's mess supervisor for the whole Alaska Military Highway, and he's covered 11,000 miles of it in the last 6 months. For military reasons, we can't tell you his name, so we'll just call him Captain X from New Hampshire. Say, Captain, have you been in this food business long?
Well, I started in it when I was 11 years old. In a bakery. I worked up to master baker, shot out a cook, hotel chef, hotel steward, and about 10 years in government camps and then instruction to BNC school.
Oh, you mean baker and cook school, huh? In the Army. Well, then you know your onions, don't you?
What?
I didn't mean anything by that. What were you doing traveling up and down the road so much?
Well, my job there was to inspect all the messes, to see to it that they had plenty of food, see it was properly prepared, and see if they had a balanced diet.
Mm-hmm. Are they using many dehydrated foods up there?
Yes, at that time they were using a lot of dehydrated foods.
Mm-hmm.
Potatoes, cabbage, carrots, beets, and some turnips.
Well, I'll bet you know how to reconstruct them. I know a lot of people are interested in dehydrated foods these days. Can you tell us the best way to bring them back so that they'll taste best?
Well, the best way to do it is to bring them back very slowly with cold water.
Mm-hmm.
When they become the consistency of rubber, then you start cooking them.
Oh, I thought you meant eat them. I see. Well, look, I'm an old coleslaw man from way back. Can you make good coleslaw with dehydrated cabbage?
Well, you sure can. You can't tell it from fresh cabbage.
Well, how do you do it?
Well, we take our cabbage first, and then we... Here's the mic
right here, Captain.
We take a cabbage first, and then we reconstruct that at least 2 hours before it's time to be served. We take our war bacon and fry that in very small pieces. Then we make a dressing of vinegar, salt and pepper, and some sugar.
Mm-hmm.
We mix that all together, and then to make the boys start picking around and make it appetizing, we put some raisins in with it.
Oh, boy. You're making me hungry now. Now, you told us about the cooking. Now, how about the baking?
Well, in the baking end of it, we've instructed them in bakeries. We set up bakeries in spots along the highway where the boys hadn't had white bread for a year.
Well, we hear that you've put on an apron and gotten flour all over yourself.
Yes, at one U.S. dispensary, I made apple pies and biscuits for them one day, and my sergeant cut out T-bone steaks for the whole outfit.
Say, you'd make some woman a wonderful husband.
Not right now. I got several thousand boys to be sort of a mother to.
Oh, I see. Well, now, did you ever have trouble getting supplies into the men in the more isolated camps?
Yes, we've had quite a lot of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
At times, we didn't know the road was open, and I personally went up through, and then after that, we shot the supplies up through, too.
I see. Well, how's the health of the men? You know, we always have epidemics of colds and things in the wintertime. How's their health?
Oh, their health is very good. I've seen some of the boys take a swim in a hot springs pool
mm-hmm.
at 50 below zero.
And they didn't catch cold?
They didn't catch cold.
Well, if they didn't catch cold, then they never catch cold. Well, thanks very much, Captain, for coming up here and telling us about the food situation. Now, Vox Pop and Roma Filter want you to remember us. And so we've ordered, because we found out that you wore out your old one on 11,000 miles up the road. We ordered a new officer's leather-trimmed canvas traveling bag for you. And we found for you a 12-gauge pump-action shotgun with full choke. Now, you'll have to go and get the permit yourself from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Good hunting with it, Captain, and good luck to you always.
Thank you.
And now, folks, it's time that we heard from our old friend of ours and of yours, the talking Vox Pop train.
Fine headache, three ways.
Hey, don't go away. Let's have that first part again, please. Secretary in Schenectady didn't quite get it.
Mind headache three ways.
That's the ticket. Fight headache three ways. A common sick headache may affect you three ways. Pounding head pain, jangled nerves, upset stomach. But here's what Bromo Seltzer does.
Quickly relieves that pain in your head. Quickly helps calm jumpy nerves. Help settle upset stomach.
Incidentally, you can take Bromo Seltzer while it's still fizzing or after it settles down. Either way, you get effective relief. Feel better fast. Use Bromo Seltzer only as directed on the label. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor. For quick, effective relief from common sick headache, do as our Vox Pop train advises.
Fight headache three ways.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
And here's some more from Edmonton up in Alberta in Canada. And here comes our first enlisted man. We want you to know that nearly all of those tough, hard-working men of the Engineer Corps who we'd like to have had with us tonight are way, way north of here. They're still doing their tremendous job. But we're lucky to find from New York City, Corporal James Craner. Hi, Corporal. Tell me, Corporal, where'd you spend the winter?
I spent the winter in Whitehorse, Yukon Territory.
How far off is Whitehorse?
I couldn't say exactly.
It's quite a few miles, isn't it? What were you doing up there?
We're working in the hospital up there.
Oh, you're in the medical corps.
That's right.
I see. Well, did you have nice warm barracks in those early days up there?
Hardly. When we went up there, we set up tents, and the good earth was all we had for a floor.
How long did you stay in them?
We stayed in them for about until December.
How cool was it then?
It reached 72 below zero.
You look good and healthy and everything.
Well, I feel pretty
good. You're all right. Say, were the injured men brought into your hospitals up there, or did you have to go out and get them sometimes?
Well, occasionally we did have to go out and get them. One incident stands out. From the Don Jack River, about 250 miles above Whitehorse, a call came from a regimental surgeon. A man with a ruptured appendix had to be operated on immediately.
Hmm.
The weather was pretty rough, and Major Joyce, who was then a captain, and Captain Moskowitz, who was then a lieutenant,
mm-hmm.
volunteered to do the job if they could get somebody
well,
to take them
up
there. Well, they finally got a volunteer bush pilot. Yeah. Canadian bush pilot.
Oh, yeah, one of those brave men that really fly anywhere, anytime, huh? Yeah.
They took off in pretty bad weather and landed on an improvised landing strip with headlights from GI trucks, the only thing to guide them.
And they got there in time?
They operated and saved the man's life.
Good. Well, that's the kind of stuff that the medical corps is doing everywhere. No matter what the tough job is, they're right on the job. Where's your wife?
She's in New York.
I understand you were married on when you went back in January on a furlough, huh?
That's right. I do it.
Well, I wish we had more time to talk to you, but we haven't. So Bromo Seltzer and Vox Pop got for you, for your comfort in shaving after a hard winter up there, a packet electric razor, and for your bride, here's a beautiful solid gold pin with 7 perfectly matched amethysts. I think she'll like that. What do you think?
Excellent.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
We want you to know the biggest man on the whole Alaskan Military Highway project. Everybody... Everybody calls him Tiny, but he's about 6'5". I don't know how much he weighs, but the boys tell us that once he was taken off an Army transport plane up here so they could put on 400 pounds more gasoline. So you can draw your own conclusions. He's 34 and one of the army of civilians doing a magnificent job up here on the road. Parts call letter for the whole road, Lloyd Tiny Burdick of Marshall, Minnesota. Tiny, you've been way over this mic here. Say, you must have played football somewhere, Tiny.
Yes, sir. I played down with the Chicago Bears a few years ago.
With the Chicago Bears, and you played football, brother. Say, what does your job call for, Tiny?
Well, I go out on the field and try to find out what parts are needed and where they should be stored, where they can be best used, to bring the information back to my superiors here at the division office for them to carry out whatever they see fit.
And requisition. Now, well, what
right.
do you have to requisition?
Well, one Monday morning, we had everything from an agitator for a wash machine to a cylinder head for a ball and locomotive.
I see. Well, we hear that they had some wonderful road building equipment to push the road through.
They did. They really pushed it through. For those big bulldozers and 6x6 trucks, it certainly is a paradise for an equipment man.
Well, are those 6x6 trucks like Johnny 5x5s? Is that where they get that?
No, hardly.
Well, I mean, what are they, 6 wheels?
They 6 wheels, drive on all 6 wheels, and it's the really the truck for this country up here. Everything's big, massive, power.
Well, they must have made progress working with material like that.
They certainly did. One troop regiment built 126 miles of road in 26 days. That's almost 5 miles a day.
That's building road, I'll tell you. You say that your job has taken you all the way up and down the road. What do you ride in?
Well, I fly up to the division office, and then I get a Jeep.
You ride in a Jeep?
That's right. Boy.
Yeah.
They kid me a little bit about it. They say when I go out there that I'm putting my Jeep on instead of getting in it.
Well, do you like it up there in the Northwest?
I certainly do.
You want to go back after the war?
Well, when this war is over, I'd like to pick up the wife and kids and go up there and fish in some of those lakes.
I don't.
Do a nice job of wetting some of those spinners up there.
I'll bet you will. And we hope that you'll be able to do it. Fox Pop and Bromo Seltzer want you to have, for coming up here and telling such a fine story tonight, a gift order on the best photographer in Marshall, Minnesota for pictures of your wife and little real honest-to-goodness parka with a fur hood, just like the big hunters wear. And for your own use, so that while you're here in Edmonton, we have a Jeep for you. It's a little undersized, about 6 inches long. Thank you very much, Tony. Good luck to you.
Boy, I think Pat's going to get this, too.
Yes, sir, folks. We haven't had nearly enough time with these men, have we? We could use another hour easily.
Yeah, we sure could, but Vox Pop has a long, long way to travel to get back to the United States and Seattle, Washington for Pacific Huts next Monday.
Pacific Huts, that's an unusual name, but so is the company making Pacific Huts. Those new warm, compact, rainproof, termite-proof, stormproof, prefabricated wooden igloos that our fighting men live in on far-flung fronts.
You're doing all right.
Yes, sir. Come on, Warren. We've got to get going.
Yes. We sure hate to leave this gorgeous country up here in Canada, don't we?
Yes, sir. Next to Texas, this neck of the woods is for me. See you next Monday. Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
This broadcast does not necessarily constitute endorsement of our products of the United States Armed Forces, and they do not endorse any product.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next week when it visits Pacific Huts at Seattle, Washington.
And remember, Bromo Seltzer brings you another great show, The Adventures of Ellery Queen. It's radio's most exciting mystery thriller, so be sure to listen. See your paper for time and station. Meantime, whenever you get a common sick headache, nerves on edge, stomach upset, do as our Vox Pop train says and fight headache three ways with Bromo Seltzer. Get it?
Fight headache three ways.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.